look at the fourth of the 10 moral attributes of God. First one we looked at was holiness, then righteousness, and then last week, justice. So the righteousness and justice flow out of the holiness. Now we're going to look at the other moral attributes of God, and today we'll look at His love. And this is the first mention in Scripture of God loving man, if you will. And of course, He's referring to Israel. He says, because He loved thy fathers. So what He's saying is that God chose to bless Israel, not because they were worthy of it, but because God is a loving God. And that we'll understand that that flows to us as well. That God died for us and gave us salvation, not because we're worthy, amen, but because God's a loving God. So let's go to Deuteronomy 7 and just be reminded that God's love is unconditional, but also that it is something that we're not worthy of. And this is important for us to understand, and it helped us to understand His justice first. But who would read verses 7 and 8? Where God is reminding Israel why He blessed them. Any volunteers? Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8. Thank you, Beryl.
The Lord will not see His love upon you, nor choose you because you are warring on the living people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath that He had sworn unto your fathers, and the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen.
So notice God is saying, I didn't love you because you were worthy of my love. I loved you because of who I am. And this is important for us to understand as well. God doesn't love us because of us. He loves us because He is a God of love. Amen? And we are so blessed that that is true, that our God is a God of love. And so we'll understand this as we walk through it together. But let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we continue to study more about You. Lord, we just want to know You better. And Lord, as we focus today on Your love, may it truly just remind us how blessed and just unbelievably grateful we should be, Lord. And I pray that it would do a work in our hearts and that You would use Your word in our lives today. And You would be glorified in this class, and we give it to You and love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at one more in Deuteronomy chapter 23 this time. And this was recounting what happened with the Balaam and the Balak story. And God is explaining why He overrode those prophecies or the curses that were supposed to be given. He says, nevertheless, Deuteronomy 23:5, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. So again, it's because of His love that He overturned those curses and made them blessings. So our God is a God of love, and let's go to 2 Corinthians, and we will see that that is part of His character, hence one of His moral attributes. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. And what we'll find is that love is part of who God is. It is a natural attribute of, or a moral attribute of God. So who would read 2 Corinthians 13, 11? Volunteers? Thank you, Philip. So notice it says, the God of love. The Bible refers to our God as the God of love. Isn't that beautiful? And now go to 1 John chapter 4, which has probably got more mentions of the word love than any other chapter in the Bible. And who would read verses 7 and 8? 1 John 4, 7 and 8. We're just establishing that this is part of who God is, that this is part of His character. Anybody? 7 and 8. Thank you, Maggie.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
So these two verses say a lot. The first thing it says is love is of God. So that means true love is all of God. The reason for that is verse 8, God is love. So God doesn't just love, God is the embodiment of love. And that's important for us to understand. So the love that he wants us to have has to come from him, right? And what's it say in Galatians 5? The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. So God loves others through us. Now look down in verse 16. We know, we have known and believe that that love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So God is love. He doesn't just love, he is love. So true love comes from God. And that's why he says, I want you to love others as I've loved you. But then he gives us the ability to do that by indwelling it, us in the person of the Holy Ghost and giving us the ability to love. So God is love, and God loves because he is love. So he doesn't love us because we're worthy of his love. He loves us because he's love. Does that make sense? Okay, so now let's just look at a couple of scriptures that talk about the quality of God's love. So Jeremiah 31:3, Mrs. Scott's favorite verse. So who would read that for us? Jeremiah 31:3. Thank you, Doug.
The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Notice, everlasting love. Isn't that beautiful? So our God's love is everlasting. When God chooses to love, that love is forever. Praise the Lord. And so we are safe and secure in the everlasting love of God. One more on the quality of God's love, Ephesians chapter 2. And then we'll get down to some of the nitty-gritties of how it's been manifested. So Ephesians 2, who would read verses 4 and 5? Thank you, Jackie.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved.
So notice it says, for his great love wherewith he loved us. So his love is not only everlasting, his love is great. And notice it says, because of his great love, even though we were dead, he quickened us, he gave us life. And so that leads us to the ultimate manifestation of God's love, which is what? The cross. Whenever you hear someone trying to question the love of God, and people do, because they see people going through hurts or they see disasters or whatever, and they say, how could a loving God just finish the sentence? Just say, but look at what happened at Calvary. So God manifested his love at and through the cross. And that is the heart of the gospel, isn't it? It's the cross. So a lot of scriptures on this, because this is God's display, if you will, of his love to the world was through Calvary. So we don't need to turn there, but John 3:16. What's it say? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. So he so loved that he did something. He gave his only begotten Son. John 13. Let's look at another one and then look at some others showing that Calvary was the way that God manifested his love to the world. John 13:1. Who would read that, please? Talking about Jesus Christ in the upper room with his disciples. John 13:1. Any volunteers? Thank you, Beryl. He loved them unto the end. Isn't that beautiful? That's talking about Jesus loving us. It says he loved them unto the end. And then in John 15, Jesus is still in the upper room with his disciples. Verse 13, John 15:13. And look what he says. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who's he referring to? Himself. Because he's about to lay down his life for us. And so Calvary was the beautiful manifestation. Let's go to Romans 5:8. Most of you probably know this one. Who would read that? Thank you, Brad.
But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
So that word commendeth basically means displayed or showed. God revealed or showed or displayed his love for us. How? Christ died for us. So God revealed or showed his love. And then let's go to 1 John now. And 1 John 3 and 4 are definitely the love chapters of the Bible. So 1 John 3:16, we're talking about how God manifested his love. Who would read that? So this isn't John 3:16, this is 1 John 3:16. Philip? Okay, so in Romans 5, it says he commendeth. Here it says we can perceive it, or we can see it, can perceive the love of God. How? Because he laid down his life for us. We can see the love of God at Calvary. And then over in chapter 4, we read 7 and 8. Now let's read 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 4, talking about the manifestation of God's love. Who would read 1 John 4, 9 and 10? Maggie?
And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Two times in each of those verses is the word sent. Did you see that? So in verse 9, in this was manifested, there's that word again, or displayed, manifested. How? God sent. Then verse 10, herein is love. So God is going to tell, here's love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent. So again, God's love was displayed at Calvary. Jesus' love displayed at Calvary. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. And then Revelation 1:5. Let's look at that. Talking of how Jesus manifested his love through Calvary. Who would read that? Revelation 1:5. Thank you, Jen.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So God's and Christ's love were manifested at Calvary, but that's not the only way that his love is manifested, but that is the way that he displayed his love to the world and is what is to draw us to him. Is our need for salvation, but also that our Creator loved us enough to die for us and offers us to be rescued from our sin through what he did. Once we are saved, though, God continues to show his love for us in other ways, doesn't he? Can you think of any? Well, John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. So God allowed us to become his children. That's a big blessing, isn't it? Why? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. So because of God's love, he allows us to be his children. Titus 3:5 says, according to his mercy, he saved us. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. So again, He saved us. He allows us to be his children. But if you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:16, he goes beyond once we are his children. So who would read 2 Thessalonians 2:16? We're now talking about how God continues to manifest his love to us after we are Christians. Any volunteers? 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Philip, thank you.
Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace.
So notice it says, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. So once we are saved, God continues to love us through action by giving us what? Everlasting consolation and good hope. We have a good hope, amen? We know we're going to spend forever with the Lord in glory. That's our hope. And when the Bible uses the word hope, it doesn't mean might. It's used in the sense of it's sealed, it's done. That is our assurance, is that we are going to spend forever. So God gives us this good hope as well through his love. And not only that, God tells us that once we find his love, we can't be separated from it. What a big blessing that is. So who would read that passage, Romans 8, 35 to 39? Beautiful piece of scripture. You ever want to memorize a big piece, there's a good one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who would read that? Romans 8, 35 to 39. Jackie?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. So in verse 35 it says love of Christ, and verse 39 it says love of God. But the whole point of this passage is we can't be separated from it. Hallelujah. So once we find the love of God through Calvary, we can never be separated from it. Part of our eternal security. And then Hebrews 12:6, another one that God continues to do for us after we are saved through his love. Who would read that? Hebrews 12:6. Something else he does for us because he loves us. Anybody? Thank you, Beryl. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know, when we smacked our children, was it because we hated them? Or because we loved them? It's because we loved them. And when we disobey and won't listen, and God has to chastise us, it's because he loves us. He's a good father. So for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So God's love continues to be manifested through our Christian lives after we're saved and find the ultimate manifestation of Calvary. He continues to love us by blessing us with his assurance, his hope, his comfort, his consolation, and even sometimes his chastisement. That is the love of God. So in return, God wants us to love him. Amen? And what you'll find is every single one of these 10 moral attributes, God wants us to emulate in our Christian lives. Now, when it comes to love, God wants us to love him, but he also wants us to what? Love others. We'll talk about that. But let's start with Deuteronomy 6:5, what Jesus calls the great commandment. This is where it comes from. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Who would read that? Thank you, Beth.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
So Jesus himself told us that the greatest commandment in the Bible is this one. If you had to pick one. And he repeated it for us many times in Scripture. He says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. So what God is saying is now that he has shown and manifested his love to us through Calvary, and we have found that love, he wants us to then love him in return. Now we'll talk more about this at family camp, but loving God is also manifested in our behavior. Through what? Any thoughts? Okay, that's one way. But specifically loving God is, how do we show God our love?
Communicating with him, reading his word, praying to him, spending time with him.
Okay, we definitely communicate it. Philip? Ah, that's the word I was looking for. Jesus said, if you love me, tell me all the time. Is that what he said? What did he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So how do we show our love to God? By obeying him. And yes, one of the ways is to love others. One of the ways is to read his word and to pray. But ultimately, we manifest our love back to God through obedience. So when we obey his commandments, we are saying, I love you. Does that make sense? Also, by serving him, go to John 21 and we'll see that. This is Jesus with Peter at the seashore. Most of you know this passage quite well. Who would read John 21, 15? Anybody? John 21, 15. Pastor Shannon?
So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs.
Do you love me, Peter? Yes. We won't go into all the nuances of the different loves there. But he says, if you do love me, what? Feed my lambs. Peter's going to become a great preacher. Now, Peter doesn't know this yet. But we're going to get to Acts chapter 2 and 3. And what does he do? But preach and thousands of people get saved. I want you to feed my lambs. And so he goes on to be one of the great leaders of the early church. And then he goes on to write 1 and 2 Peter for us. Continue to teach us and feed his lambs. But first he asks the question, do you love me? If you love me, I want you therefore to serve me. So how do we manifest our love back to the Lord? Through obedience and service. It's not complicated, is it? That's how we say, I love you to the Lord. And Jesus made that clear there at the seashore with Christ. You know, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Right? 1 John 4:19. So he first loved us at Calvary. Then when we found that love through salvation, now we love him in return. But it's not about saying it or feeling it. It's about doing it. Amen. It's about obeying his commandments. It's about serving him with our lives, our gifts, and our talents. So God manifested his love through Calvary. Praise God. And we found it. He continues to manifest his love by being so kind to us and blessing us constantly. In return, he asks us to love him, but also, therefore, also love what? Others, right? And this is on earth how we're to emulate God's love is by doing what God did and love and doing it how God did it. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. First of the nine things listed there is love. Where does that come from? Romans 5:5. It comes from the Spirit. And this is important for us to understand. So let's turn there. Romans 5:5. And then we'll see how we were commanded, therefore, to emulate God's love on earth for one another. So who would read Romans 5:5? Thank you, Beryl. Look what it says. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost. Remember, he moves in when we get saved. One of the reasons is so that he can then guide us, convict us, but also to yield God's fruit through us. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not called the fruit of man. It's God's Spirit that gives us this love. Okay, so this was first listed in John 13. Again, so let's turn there in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples. Who would read verse 34? John 13, 34. Thank you, Beth.
A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
Now let me ask you a question. We already read, or we already know in the Old Testament that we're told to love our neighbors ourselves, right? Because that's the second of the great two commandments that Jesus points out. So we were already told in the Old Testament to love people as love our neighbors ourselves. So why is this a new commandment in John 13? Do you ever wonder why it's a new commandment? The key is in the verse itself. As I have loved you. The Old Testament didn't say, I want you to love others as I've loved you, did it? No, it just says, I want you to love others as much as you love yourself. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to go further. Not just as much as you love yourself, and we all love ourselves. I want you to love others as I've loved you. That's a much greater love, isn't it? Because now the measure of our love is Jesus' love for us. No longer how much we love ourselves. That's why it's a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. So now I want your love to be like my love. Well, up to this point, man hadn't really seen this amazing manifestation. And it hadn't even happened here in John 13. But the disciples are going to understand it soon when Jesus dies for them. He says, so now I want you to love as I've loved. So look at John 15, and he says it again. Verse 12, John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So there it is again, as I've loved you. So now I want you to love one another as I've loved you. And this won't make 100% sense to them until Calvary, of course. But once Calvary happens, then they'll completely understand what Jesus is saying. I want you to love others as I've loved you. So the two love chapters, let's go there. 1 John 3 again and 4, where John expounds upon this for us, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. 1 John 3, who would read verses 17 and 18? Philip, thanks.
For this I have this world's good, the sinless brother heavenly, and shall up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Oh, but we want to love in word and tongue, don't we? We want to just keep saying it. God says, no, I want you to do it in deed. I want you to show it. And notice he says, the love of God is mentioned there. So he's saying, if you truly have the love of God in you, what will you do but meet your brothers and sisters' needs? Because God meets our needs. So this is, John's now bringing it down to our level to say, here's something real. God meets your needs. God wants you to meet others' needs. If you see a need and you have the means to meet it, meet it. You don't even need to pray for it. Just meet it. Because that's what God says we're supposed to do. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, well, just think about those three words. So loved us. What is that saying? It means we need to stop and think about how much did God love us? So loved us. Well, we look at Calvary. We ought to also, what? Love one another. So there again, he's saying, if God loved us that much, that's how much he wants us to love one another. And then 1 John 5:1. So all three of these chapters in 1 John talk about us emulating God's love. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So who is he that begat? Who's he that gave us a new life that we were born of? God. So whosoever loveth him that begat God, therefore also loves him that is begotten of him, which are other Christians. So back to, as I've loved you, I want you to love one another. Isn't that beautiful? God's love is beautiful. And manifested at Calvary, manifested daily in God's goodness and kindness to us. And God wants us to love him in return. And he wants us to love others as he's loved us. Any thoughts or questions about the love of God?